So Mark, what's happening with your vermicompost heap?
Oh, it's going, yeah. It's slowly growing. You can't rush it, can you, David?
No, it is frustrating in the start, but other than going out and spending a fortune on buying huge quantities, it just makes sense to start off, give them time to breed up, and bearing in mind that, you know, we're going from 1,000 to 2,000, which doesn't seem much, but then 2 to 4, and then 4 to 8, and then 8 from 16, and 16 to 32. So each couple of months we hang in there, you see a big difference in the breeding rate. Over.
So how long does it take for the first batch to double?
Same with each batch. The average time is about 2 months, maybe a little bit quicker in summer, a little bit slower in winter. But you can use the rule of thumb that providing the right sort of food and moisture, rule of thumb is about every 2 months there'll be twice as many as there was 2 months ago.
Good. Okay, is there anyone else who has got a question to ask?
I might just, Mark, before we came online, you said that you'd made your own bin and made some plots in it. What's that bin made of? Is it plastic or metal?
Plastic.
Okay, it will pay to make sure you've got that in a pretty well shaded or protected spot, of not access to the hot sun, because the plastic sort of magnifies the heat as it goes through it, and you might have.
Oh, right, eh?
You won't get as good a result as you could if it's just sitting outside exposed to the hot sun with that plastic.
Yep.
It'll also dry things out a lot quicker. So even if you had it in a shed totally protected from the sun, it would be probably better than being. I don't know what you've got, but I just thought I'd mention that. Over.
Yep. No worries.
Mark, if you've got any other questions, just let's call out, because I'll ask David a question or two. David, what is you're the president of the Australian Worm Growers Association Vermiculture Incorporated. Now, what's the advantage of farmers joining your Worm Growers Association? Maybe just to give a bit of history on that, or the current history on that Worm Growers Association. What are you setting out to do? And can you give us a bit of a rundown?
Yeah, I can, Hugo. I'll answer the second part first. The Australian Worm Growers Association. Back in the 90s, they had membership of a couple of hundred worm growers over Australia, but 90% of those were mums and dads that had been convinced that there was the amount to be made out of growing worms, because when you do the maths on how quickly they multiply and the value of the worms, it looks like you can make a fortune in no time at all. What those people weren't told, that you can only make a fortune if you can actually sell them and get the money for them, and that's where a lot of people were sort of convinced to invest in buyback schemes, but the people offering the buyback scheme didn't really have the end market, and so reneged on buying, and there was a few other clauses that they put in that they required X amount of production, or else there was penalties and things like that. And it's the same with any other livestock venture. If you do the sums and say you've got 7 cows, you're going to get 7 calves a year, well, then you're kidding yourself. Because nature just doesn't work like that, and you might get, even if you've got 7 cows calving, you'll find that one dies or something happens or whatever. So people have done their figures on the maximum rate and were disappointed. So a lot of those people became disillusioned, and the worm growing industry got a bad name, and we got down to a stage where there was only 5 people still hanging in there, keeping the organisation going. And it went for a couple of years without actually having a president. The secretary sort of was just holding things together. So I put my hand up to become the president and set about trying to rebuild the organisation. And in the last 12 months, we've been able, basically my first 12 months as president, we've been able to boost that number up to 15 at the moment. So we've been able to recruit 10 new members. Farming Secrets being one of those, I must say, and appreciate that. But we've also got people like Kookaburra Worm Farms, are probably the largest retailer of worms in Australia. They're up in Queensland, and they were involved in the original Worm Growers Association, but dropped out. A lot of people when things were not going well. So we've got a variety of people now. We've got people with poultry farms. We've got people with orchards, dairy farmers, straight out worm growers, hobby farmers, alpaca grower. We've got quite a variety of people there, and I'm quite confident that the association is going to be bigger and stronger and healthier this time round. The advantage is that people can then join our own forum and talk to other people about what they're doing, what the problems were, what their successes are, and what we're encouraging is people, whilst not giving away their actual trade secrets, there's a lot of other information that we can share out there that will help everyone prosper. Similar to the sort of things that we've done with the DVD through Farming Secrets. There's a lot of people that there's just little simple things that if you know them, then it makes life a lot easier. But if you don't know it, things are a lot harder. So the important thing is the ability to ring up and talk personally to other people doing the same thing and share information. And the other big advantage, which is a little bit further down the track, I believe, is that it is only a matter of time before we get orders for very large quantities of worms. And at the moment, I'm not aware of anywhere in Australia where if somebody, a council or a large factory or maybe someone like Woolworths or something like that suddenly wanted to do the right thing by the environment and start processing all their waste into castings and wanted to buy truckloads of worms, well, there's nowhere, no one can supply them. But if we have a network of people with an excess of worms, then we can go to our members and say, you know, we'll take all you've got that you don't want and create a market for them. This concept of the corporate people getting involved is already happening. I'm currently working with the Novotel hotel chain. They've got a big bill, just invested in a multi-million dollar resort at the local golf club here at Creswick, and they're now spraying onto their golf course and working towards having all the waste from their conference centre converted into vermicast and applied to their golf course, and they've already got plans for a big publicity event.
David, the two things that I hear you just say is that if you look after your worms could be very valuable either to yourself as a farmer or to sell for someone as people wake up to how good they are for getting rid of waste. And and the other thing I just hear you saying is that your association isn't one of those associations that is buying back and putting all these impositions on the worm farmer. You're just helping them and without strings attached. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right, Hugo. One of the things when we do get inquiries for potential new members, we make sure that they're aware of the things that have happened in the past and be wary about signing up for unrealistic contracts, because there are still people out there offering to take amounts like $50,000 off you to teach you how to become a successful worm farmer. And we're saying to people, well, you know, it's free enterprise country, but make sure you do your due diligence and have a really good look at that, because most of those things in the past haven't delivered. But you're right, we certainly believe, as far as if you become a worm breeder yourself, the worst you can do is provide yourself with a huge amount of savings in your supply to you, but would also be building up a stockpile of worms that could be converted into cash one day.
I think your association is extremely generous, because I have heard of a number of people who have bought these worm farms with all special equipment, special pumps and whatever else, and when you see that on how simple it can be done and how cheap it can be done and still have an outstanding product at the end, I think your association is unbelievably good, and I just couldn't wait till join you people quickly enough, really.
You're right there, Hugo. I'm aware of, in fact, it's hard to fathom, but I had a chap come up. He wanted to have a look at my setup, and he came up from the other side of Melbourne and had a look, and I showed him how simple it was, and my understanding, he still went out and invested $30,000 in all this equipment, and it's just bad that he wanted to do that, because I'm sure he won't be any more effective than setting up something like mine, which would be well under $1,000 total to set up over.